Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time today. Father, we ask that you fulfill your will for this hour in us, through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Living Loaves of Bread podcast. I'm Brother Joshua, and our mission here is, by God's mercies, to regularly break some living bread so that we can all be nourished and edified to the glory of God. Our goal is not to win an argument, any argument. Our goal is simply to be scriptural. Our goal is to rightly divide the scriptures, the living scriptures of the Lord. By the grace of God, I have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this podcast is merely an extension, a further manifestation of that grace. As an introduction to our examination of the scriptures, I want us to kind of look at some basic things, foundational things, things that will be the basis for our discussions going forward. Those basic things are some characteristics that we'll see in God's word, concerning his word. I do not pretend to exhaust or be able to exhaust those characteristics now or later, but we're going to look at a few of them so we can set the tone for our discussions. First characteristic I want us to look at is that the Word of God explains itself. It explains itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." What are those spiritual things? John 6 and 63, the scriptures quote our Lord Jesus saying, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Holy Ghost teacheth by comparing a spiritual thing with another spiritual thing. It compares one word of God with another word of God in the Word of God. Second characteristic I want us to look at is that the Word of God balances itself. It checks itself. We see that, I guess, graphically displayed in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. These scriptures always tickle me when I read them. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." And the very next verse, verse 5, says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." No, there is no contradiction. It's balancing itself and checking itself. The Spirit of God may lead you to be quiet and not to answer a fool. But the Spirit of God may also lead you not to be quiet and to answer a fool. The word balances itself. We see that again, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 to verse 7. The Bible says, verse 5, then the devil taketh him, talking about Jesus, taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, the devil said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7 says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We see from this discourse that Jesus did not deny that it is written that the angels have been given charge concerning him, and they will bear him up lest he dash his foot against a stone. But Jesus said there is a balance in the same word of God to that word. No, it's not a contradiction. It's a balance. It's a check. And the balance in this instance, because the balance is dynamic, in this instance, the balance is you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Some of us have gotten bent out of shape because we latch onto a word of God that is the word of God. But when we latch onto that word, we forget or are oblivious or do not see or do not want to see a balance to that word that we latch onto. I'll leave that alone for now. Another characteristic we can see from the Word of God is even in this balancing and checking act of itself, the Word of God does not contradict itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 13, the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. A fourth characteristic we can notice is that the Word of God is complete and self-contained and perfect the way it is. It does not need the Word of God does not need addition, subtraction, or modification. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Proverbs 30, verse 5-6 says, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, the Bible says, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. So the word of God does not need addition, subtraction, or modification. It is good, complete, self-contained, perfect, just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Another characteristic of the Word of God we'll see, a fifth one, if you're counting, is where the Word of God conflicts with any, underline, bold, italicized, highlight, conflicts with any church doctrine or any church practice or any custom or tradition of old. Where the word of God conflicts with any, I'm not even bothering speaking about conflicting with the world. That's a given. We don't need to compute or examine what the outcome of that will be. I don't need to talk about where the Word of God conflicts with heathen tradition or heathen practices or ungodliness or worldliness or sin. I'm not even bothered about that for now. But where the Word of God conflicts with any church doctrine, any church practice, or any church custom or tradition of old, the Word of God always wins. Because no church, no denomination, no Christian grouping is greater than the Word of God. Let me say that again. No church belief, no church doctrine, no church tradition that conflicts with the Word of God is greater than the Word of God. None. Zero. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were not first called blank. By blank, fill in your denomination name. Let me say that again. Your denomination, beloved, is not in the Bible. Your being a Christian is in the Bible. So, we have to be biblical not denominational. But I'll leave that alone for now. I don't want to get in trouble too early. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 128. The psalmist says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." The psalmist says, Psalm 119, verse 128, "Lord, whatever you said about anything is right." And that's it. It's not what the church said. It's whatever you said. Obviously, it's not what the heathen said. Obviously, it's not what the world said. Obviously, it's not what the unbelievers said. That's a given. But it is what you said in the scriptures that is right. Because the scriptures also says in Romans 3 verse 4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Praise the Lord. Let's move on to another characteristic very quickly. Number 6. Beloved, the word of God must be verified. Or let me put it this way. If, beloved, on this podcast, we cannot point you to the scriptures that support whatever we say, I beg of you, my brothers and sisters, dump it, trash it, flush it, throw it away, delete it. Beloved, if I fail in my duty to present living loaves of bread to you by the mercies of God, please, I beg of you, do not fail in your duty to reject it. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10 to 11, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily," every day, "whether those things were so." The Holy Ghost is issuing a commendation to the saints in Berea so that we can have that for us a template. It doesn't matter if it is Bishop Wonderful speaking to you. It doesn't matter if it's Apostle Awesome or Prophet Precise. Maybe it's that wonderful pastor of yours. God bless him. Beloved, if he cannot produce the foundation, the basis of whatever is being said, and you cannot find the foundation or the basis of whatever is being said, we all have a duty to dump it. to delete it, to trash it. Let me move on. Another characteristic we want us to look at of the Word of God is that the Word of God prevents us from tickling your ears with worthless and dangerous tales. Tales, fables. I've heard about eye candy. Well, this is ear candy. It sounds good. Feels good. And the Word of God does sound and feel good. But let it be the Word of God. Not tales. The Bible says in Titus 1 verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Ah, I feel it sometimes like an itch, like a burning just inside of me. I say, ah, Lord, why are they doing that again? I'm talking about when I hear ministers of God living the oracles of God, His scriptures, and scavenging in tales and fables just to tickle the ears of their listeners. Not giving heed to Titus 1:14 says Jewish fables. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to 4, the Bible says, preach the word, not fables, not tales. Preach the word, not what Jewish scholars believe. Preach the word, not what Gentile scholars believe. Preach the word, not what a conglomeration of erudite PhD scholars believe. I'm not knocking them. Please, please. Do study, please. That's not the point. Paul studied, but all he preached in Berea was in the Old Testament. Let me say that again. Paul was a scholar, an erudite scholar. But when he went to go preach in Berea, the folks he preached to in Berea went to check the scriptures whether what Paul was preaching was true. Meaning, he gave them chapter and verse and book, and they went to go check for themselves. Being a scholar does not give you license to tell tales. Being a scholar, it's a privilege to reveal the mysteries of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 to 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables. Fables, beloved. Many scholars believe that A, B, C, D, E, F, G I'm sorry if what those scholars believe is not congruent with what God believes. Guess who is lying? Well, if what those scholars believe is congruent with what God believes, then show me where God said it. Because I can lean on his word. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said, yes, it was already written. It's sure, it's set. Not scholars believe. Oh, well. It's too early to get into trouble. Praise the Lord. One last characteristic of the word, if we'll call it that. Number 8 is Jesus is the word. That's why I said we may call it a characteristic, but it is the characteristic of the word. Jesus is the word. Beloved, this is all just a groundwork for how we're going to look at the scriptures going forward. These characteristics are not exhaustive, just a groundwork. Revelations chapter 19, verse 11 to 13. Revelations 19, 11 to 13. The Bible says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, Jesus is the Word of God. Beloved, we cannot improve on Jesus. Let me say that again. We cannot improve on Jesus. We cannot add to or improve on his life. We cannot subtract from him or the life that he lived. Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 15. Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 15. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yes, yet without sin. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. He says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. What are we saying? Beloved, we cannot improve on the life of Jesus, but Jesus says we can be like him. Therefore, we cannot improve on the Word of God, which is Jesus. We have to take it the way it is, say it the way it is. If there are some parts of the Word of God that cause us to cringe and cause us to bend backwards to fit into our own church doctrine and tradition, guess who is in error? It's not Jesus. It's not his word, because he's without sin. It's perfect. We have to say God's word the way it is, because God is not ashamed of his word. Some of us may be ashamed of some parts of the word of God. God is not. It is his word. His word is Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life. The word of God is perfect. We have to take it and say it the way it is, because we cannot improve on God. Oh well. But I digress. Beloved, we're going to stop here for now, for today. And I pray that the Lord will be with you and keep you and bless you and yours. Till I see you next time, by his grace. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.